Welcome back to Nancy Goodaim, Space Ranger. You are listening to Chapter 2, which will last about 15 minutes. Now, you should know that Nancy McGinley, Bart McMurrow and Jerry Staunton were the first humans to land on Mars. And in the last chapter, Jerry took off and left Bart and Nancy at the ESA research station known as Eber Base, when a knock came on the door. "Is that lad still out there?" asked Bart. He was in the airlock, in a spacesuit, and waiting for the decompression to complete, so he could open the door and meet the owner of the knock, who was a small humanoid figure in a uniform. "Yes, he is," replied Nancy. She was watching external camera footage of the visitor and speaking to Bart through a headset in his spacesuit. "The Martian keeps looking around. It's as if he's nervous. Be careful, Bart." "What do you mean by be careful?"
"I don't know, Bart. I just don't know."
Before Bart could reply, the airlock opened. Bart stepped out and extended his hand in a very human gesture of friendship. The stranger didn't respond, but instead pointed towards where the San Laika 1 landing craft had been. "Where did G come out of?" Bart found himself wondering how he was able to hear the Martian, albeit faintly, in an atmosphere where sound should not easily travel. The Martian pointed to Bart's space helmet.
"Take that thing off! I can't hear you."
"Did you hear that, Nancy?"
Bart's headset crackled.
"No."
The Martian looked around nervously. Bart instinctively did the same. He could see the edge of the crater in the distance, the rover, the other domes of Eber Base, and the scorched ground where San Laika 1 had been. The Martian mimed a large snapping claw with his hands.
I think this fella's hungry, Nancy."
Bart pointed to the Martian's mouth.
"Are you hungry?"
"Take off your helmet," came the reply.
"I don't understand."
"Take off your helmet. I can't hear you properly," said the Martian.
"Nancy, do you know what he's saying?"
Bart looked to where the camera was and shrugged his shoulders. Nancy thought about what advice to give. The Martian did not look to be hostile. If anything, he looked to be scared, because he kept glancing nervously around him.
Be careful," she
repeated, advised. Bart looked back at the Martian and tapped the side of his helmet and shrugged the very human gesture of, "I've no clue what you're saying," which changed the dynamic of his interaction with the Martian, who suddenly moved forward and grabbed Bart's helmet. This kicked off a struggle. Bart backed up and broke the Martian's grip. He then sidestepped and struck back, knocking the Martian sideways and down into the dust. The Martian tried to turn and run, but Bart jumped alongside him and clobbered the Martian back down into the dust. Nancy sprung into action. She jumped into the airlock and put on her spacesuit. This meant all her focus and energy went into speed, which meant she did not see the stranger grab a rock and try unsuccessfully to use it as a weapon. Bart's clobbering was not having a mass effect on the stranger either, though. To be fair, he was trying to inflict pain through several layers of European Space Agency insulated space gear. And in the end, he tripped and fell, and the pair began wrestling. The Martian concentrated his attention on moving Bart's space helmet to somewhere other than Bart's head. Bart clung onto the helmet with a death grip. It was not an easy task with the heavily gloved hands, but he kept his grip even when it tore free from a seal around the top of his suit.
"Where did G come from?" shouted the man.
Bart took a few seconds to freeze mid-wrestle and realise he was now lying in the Martian dirt without a helmet and breathing normally.
"Earth,"
he said eventually.
"Never heard of it."
The Martian then stood up with his back to the habitation dome. He glanced around anxiously, paused and said,
"Well, I'm going to forget about your rude behaviour, seeing as there's a cantabular glimp on the loose, but you should have a rethink about how you greet Martians. Anyway, look, it, no harm done. My name's Hababble Gobblesnotch."
He then looked at Bart.
"Right, you really aren't from round here. Everybody knows me round here, because I'm brilliant. I work at the best medical mine."
There was more than a hint of pride in his voice.
Okay, said Bart weakly.
He stood up and looked around. The fact that he was breathing normally took up most of his thoughts.
"Okay then," replied Hababble. "Anyway, I saw your rocket taking off and noticed the buildings. Then I wondered to myself, who are those crazy folks setting up shop in the middle of the Bontoglian Plain? They must have no idea that it's home to a cantabular glimp. Poor fools. I hope you don't mind me calling you a fool."
But it was foolish.
There then came a whoosh.
It was a new whoosh to Bart, the sound of the outside door of an airlock opening. It was followed by Nancy, who immediately flung herself at Hubbubble Gubbersnatch's back in an attempt to knock him to the ground. Hubbubble Gubbersnatch moved sideways and made a half turn. It was enough to cause Nancy to fall onto the ground. Bart pointed to his helmetless head and roared for Nancy to take hers off.
"I don't really like the way ye introduce yourselves," noted Hubbubble. "And I mean really, not pretend."
"Take your helmet off," roared Bart.
Nancy looked at Bart in shock, then puzzlement, then looked around and took hers off.
"How is this possible?" she asked
after the first gulp of Martian air.
"Beats me," replied Bart. "But Hubbubble here reckons we need to get out of the crater."
"Sorry, Nancy, this fella says his name is Hubbubble,
if you can believe that."
"Hubbubble Gubblesnatch, and I expect you're surprised to see me down here, but I figured it'd be the right thing to do. Especially after what happened to Snitter and McGonagall. May he rest in peace. To be honest, I'm shitting myself right now, what with the Cantabular Glimp about. And to be honest, about being honest, I wouldn't really be brave or foolish enough to come down here with a glimp in the area, only the sheriff told me to."
Right, nodded Bart.
"It's just, we thought there was no atmosphere to breathe, and that we would die if our helmets were removed. Didn't we, Nancy?"
"We are from Earth."
Hubbubble glanced nervously around before speaking again.
"Good for you. But you need to make tracks. Did you not hear what happened to Snitterin?"
"No," said Bart.
"No," said Nancy.
"Who is Snitterin?" asked Bart.
"Who was Snitterin, McGonagall, you mean?" Ask answered Hubbubble. "Because he's dead now. Eviscerated by a Cantabular Glimp. But, for your information, and I suppose you should know this, if for nothing else but a mark of respect to his life on Mars, Snitterin was the second best machine operator working in the Mars City Basmitigal Mine. And I'm the best."
"How?" asked Bart. "What's a Cantabular Glimp?" asked Nancy.
"A Cantabular Glimp is the sum of every Martian's fear wrapped up into an unmotoshous collection of bone, claw, sinew and death.
And we don't seem to be able to rid ourselves of the things.
They roam this planet with a click and a clack, and if you happen to hear the clack, then it's probably too late for you and your life."
Hubbubble Gubbersnatch looked both Bart and Nancy in the face. He then looked around where they were standing and continued talking.
"Gobbling in sections is probably a good description of what happens when someone meets a glimp, but it'll happen so quickly that it'll probably feel like you've been swallowed whole, I think. Unless you were more than six people and armed to the teeth. Anyway, that's why I came down here to warn ye. Well, that and because the sheriff told me."
"How are we supposed to know that you are the best machine operator in the, what's it, Mars City, Basmitigal,
whatever you call it?" asked Bart.
Nancy was not at all curious about Hubbubble's machine operating prowess, but bit her lip. Now would not have been a good time to bicker, and curiosity is in the mind of the beholder.
"How do you think?" replied Hubbubble. "By opening your ears and listening to the things people say. Although, judging by the way you've set up home in the middle of Bontoglian Plain, it's safe to say neither of you are too good at that. But you should be, especially with a Cantabular Glimp roaming around. You don't take chances with those things. Snitter and McGonagall will tell you that, or at least you would have, if you was alive."
"Sorry, Hubbubble, are you saying we're in danger? We did see a large creature in the distance when we landed. Or at least you did, didn't you, Bart?"
"Yes, I did.
And so did Jerry,
the float.
And he did what he does best. Ran away. Sorry, space rocketed away."
Hubbubble resumed looking around nervously. He spoke as he rotated his head.
"We need to get out of the Bontoglian. Your friend's rocket will have spooked the glimp, but it'll be back to devour us. It's what glimps do.
And have you eaten breakfast?"
Nancy suddenly realised that neither of them had eaten since they began the descent towards Mars. The fresh air, sudden burst of activity, and news of the demise of Snitter and McGonagall had made her forget she was very hungry.
"No," she said. "Ah, well then," said Hubbubble, "ye two should come with me to Mars City. They have breakfasts there."
The thought of food of any sort, and of a ferocious clicking monster, motivated Nancy into agreeing to follow in Hubbubble.
"I think we should leave, Bart," she said. The Martian seems genuine. It definitely counts as research to investigate Marge City. And we are a scientist, and I don't want to see the Cantabular glimp up close. Bart nodded.
Hubble turned to an area of Eberswald crater known to the ESA as 40 degrees west of Margarita Sinus Quadrangle and began walking. Bart and Nancy followed. All three walked for about 5 feet before Bart spoke again.
Hang on, why don't we take the rover?
So they did, which was faster than walking.
But only marginally.
Which left plenty of time for conversation on the way.
Well, conversation's a bit of an exaggeration. It was mostly Hubble Gubbersnatch talking, and Bart and Nancy listening. Yeah, I'm a great machine operator. The best. Much better than Snitter and McGonagall was. And he was the second best. But that's always been the way with me. Plus, I don't think the Cantabular Gimp would have got me. I'd have taken one listen to the clacking and bailed out of the mine and back to Mars City. But he knows Snitter and McGonagall. Or you probably don't. But you should know he was greedy for overtime. He was always staying late in the mine. Long after everyone went home. That's who he got to be the second best machine operator in the mine. So, you see, there's hope for everyone to become almost as good as me. Anyway, if he'd have stayed in the excavator, he'd probably have been fine. But he panicked. The machine must have broke down late at night. Well, not exactly broke down. It ran out of fuel. And with the noise of the engine gone, he must have heard the clicking. Now, I'm guessing this because I wasn't there. But he must have freaked out with the noise and figured he'd make a run for it back to Mars City, which is a good distance on foot. When I rocked up this morning, I saw footprints as far as halfway back, and then the ground was disturbed where the glimp must have made a meal out of poor old Snitteron. Ah, well, there you go. You don't mess around with a Cantabular glimp on the loose. Sure you don't.
I suppose, suggested Nancy. She was a look around nervously as Hubble spoke. The rover was now approaching the area known as Nonachus Terra, with Bart driving.
You said you saw our rocket take off, Hubble.
Oh yeah, I wasn't hanging about with a glimp on the loose, so I went back to Mars City to fetch the sheriff, and I told him about the rocket too.
We have to report all rocket sightings anyway, what with all the Jupiterian activity over beyond the Scrumtolian Hills.
Was the glimp around when you saw the rocket?
Of course it was. Sure, it lives down here in the plain. It's unusual for it to venture out though. I reckon it had been stalking poor old Snitter and McGonagall, and when the machine broke down, the glimp took its chance.
And, what did the sheriff say when you mentioned the rocket?
Why did he need to know? Do you track where they go?
Sure, I've no idea. Probably. Like, not me, but the Space Force probably does. Anyway, the sheriff told me to go back to the crater and wait for him to gather a posse and follow down. I told him about the visitors camped in the middle of Bantoglian, and he said go and warn him, and not to be scared, because now that he had told me to go, it was an honourable thing for me to get killed doing what he said.
Hubble took a minute to have a long, lengthy, suspicious glance at Bart and Nancy.
Where did you say we were from again?
Earth, said Nancy.
Earth,
asked Hubble.
Yes,
said Bart.
So not Jupiter? No,
said Bart.
That's okay, replied Hubble after another long, suspicious glance. Just needed to check. You couldn't be up to those Jupiterians. And I might explain why the sheriff wanted me to warn ye, although I doubt even a Jupiterian spy would be stupid enough to plonk themselves in the middle of a Bantoglian plain. No offence. Anyways, I suppose it's the sheriff you have to thank for saving you from the glimp, because when I described where the rocket had come from and the people in the crater, he told me to go down there right away and tell you to get off the plane. So I did.
Would that not be a job for the sheriff? Asked Nancy. I mean, if the Cantabular glimp is so dangerous.
Oh yes it is, but he needed to go and find the deputy and organise a posse and some weapons. One person on their own would almost certainly be killed if they encountered a glimp, and the sheriff is more important than me. And poor Snitterin McGonagall. And Snitterin wasn't even doing an important thing. He was just legging it home from overtime. Ah, oh, you never know what life, or glimpse, especially Cantabular ones.
Now the rover, which designed to carry heavy loads safely, was making slow but safe and steady progress towards the edge of the crater. Nancy kept looking around for any sign of the glimp, but saw only the domes of Eberbase, the charred surface from the sun like a launch, and the sloping wall of rock that marked the edge of the crater. She then remembered her manners.
Thanks for coming down to warn us, Hubble.
Ah, I don't mind. I was curious to see what kind of fools would set up home right bang in the middle of Bantoglian. Earthers, is it?
Humans, replied Nancy.
Well, that's confusing.
The three fell silent for 6.5 minutes.
During that time, the rover advanced 328 metres. The surface was beginning to slope upwards and the rover was not having an easy time of it.
Hang on, said Bart, I'm gonna gun it.
Now, neither Nancy nor Hubbable understood what gunning a slow-moving solar-powered utility vehicle meant, but the outcome was for the vehicle to slow even more.
You two hop out, it's probably the way to ease slowing us, noted Bart.
It wasn't. And soon Bart and the rover were trailing Nancy and Hubbable as they climbed up the edge of the crater.
So, was Snitter a close friend of yours? Asked Nancy.
No. That man was a close friend of nobody. He kept himself.
Well, and his family. Hard worker, though.
Should we give your friend a push?
Nancy nodded and the pair stopped walking. Bart and the rover slowly rolled by them and they both stepped in behind the vehicle, put their heads down and began pushing. Bart continued gunning the motor, which really only involved depressing a lever on the right side of the steering wheel. And so it was that neither Bart, nor Hubbable, nor Nancy noticed the group of 8 Martians standing at the top of the crater staring down at them. At least not until they were almost on top of them, at which point someone shouted,
Have ye lot seen the glimp?
Hubbable and Nancy immediately lifted their heads and briefly forgot they were pushing the rover, which had not forgot they were pushing it, and, despite Bart's continued attempts at gunning it, began to roll backwards. Hubbable and Nancy jumped either side to allow it continue on its newfound backwards direction.
No, Sheriff, shouted Hubbable. But it's definitely about, because these two saw it earlier.
I didn't, but Bart did. Didn't you, Bart?
Nancy looked behind to where Bart had been slowly rolling backwards to see him quickly rolling backwards. He was still engrossed in the act of depressing the accelerator lever. It seemed to have no effect on the direction or trajectory of the rover.
Yes,
he shouted. The rover's automated safety system then came into play and the vehicle came to a dead stop. Bart stepped out, looked up at the group and made an attempt at pretending the backwards rolling to a stop on the side of the crater was intentional.
Who are ye? He shouted.
I'm the Mars City deputy,
shouted a small fat man who was wearing a red uniform and holding a harpoon.
He is, agreed one of the others.
The small fat man then turned to his companions and pointed as he spoke.
And this is Budadaw, Gubbleslalf, Elberon, Pudsnanker, Flirnt, Jemima, Arndlow, and the Sheriff.
Pleased to meet you, said the Sheriff.
His voice was a little bit distracted, so it's probably only a half-hearted type of pleasure.
Where did you see the glip, Mr.
Bart, said Bart. The rover had rolled about 10 feet backwards in total, and Bart had now walked 11 feet back up the slope, which put him level with Hubbable and Nancy and another 10 away from the men.
Where did you see the glimp, Mr. Bart?
Down in the crater, about 600 to 800 feet from the landing site. A point 80 degrees from the large base building, taking a straight line from here to there as the x-axis.
The Sheriff shrugged, scratched his head, turned to the small fat deputy to speak, thought the better of it, and then addressed Hubbable.
What is he on about?
I think he means gongles, Sheriff. 87 offset gongles in the middle of Bontoglian. Back at Strumtolian 4 and a Dipple. Just before that rocket took off.
Hang on. Are these people Jupiterians?
No. They're from Earth.
Where?
Earth, you know. The blue planet. The one next door on the other side. The one nobody bothers with.
All right. Well, it's good I got you, Hubbable, to let them know about the glimp. I don't mind you, Hubbable, or a couple of Jupiterians getting killed, but Earthers might be people of importance.
Well, it was good of me to think of sending them a warning.
It was, agreed the deputy. The other 6 members of the posse nodded in agreement too. Each was armed with a crossbow. 2 of them carried a large net made of thick rope with weights at the corners.
Well, good to meet you, Earthers,
said the Sheriff, who then nodded to the rest of his posse and pointed in the general direction of the centre of the crater.
Humans, corrected Nancy.
You're welcome. It's no big deal. I wouldn't have minded if Hubbable died trying to warn me. I was just doing my job by sending him.
The Sheriff then began to walk down towards the crater. He was followed by Budadaw, Gobblesnuff, Elberon, Pudsnanker, Flirnt, Jemima, Arndlow and the deputy. Hubbable filed in behind them as they walked past where Bart himself and Nancy were standing.
Hey, Sheriff! Shouted the deputy. Hubbable is coming with us.
No, he's not, replied the Sheriff. It'd have been one thing if he was killed travelling on his own to warn our visitors, because nobody would have noticed that I sent him, probably. But I don't want him getting killed while we're hunting a glimp as a group. because it would look bad for me.
You're staying put, Hubbobble, sneered the deputy. And, he added, with a Cantabular Glimp on the loose and willing to climb out of the Bontoglia plane, there's a chance he might double back up here and kill you, because you're unarmed.
Ha! The sheriff stopped walking and looked back.
Hang on, he said. It might look bad for me if the visitors got eaten. Give them your weapon, deputy. They may at least have some chance if the glimp returns before we catch it.
But I'll have nothing then, protested the deputy.
You'll have the honour of serving me, and that should be enough for you. It should be enough for any Martian alive. So hand the slank over and quit whinging.
The deputy quickly swapped his harpoon with the crossbow of the Martian next to him and handed that and several arrows to Nancy.
Try to hit the glimp in the anterior vestibule if you can. The force should be enough to stop it runculating. In any case, then you need to run away as fast as you can. Those creatures can live on for several dipples after they're dead.
Nancy thought about asking for a better explanation, but then realised she didn't like the deputy much and decided on saying nothing. Bart chose that moment to bring up another question he'd been wondering about.
How do Cantabular glimps see if they have a giant claw where their eyes should be?
They don't see, interrupted the sheriff. They echolocate.
You'll know there's one nearby by a clicking sound.
If you're extremely careful, and by that I mean don't so much as speak, because they can detect sound waves, then maybe, and it's only a maybe, you can avoid being gargangled to pieces by the creature. Either that or use the weapon to drive an arrow into its vestibule.
Nancy must have looked puzzled because Hubbobble offered an explanation.
The vestibule of a Cantabular glimp is located just above its runticles.
Who was talking to you, Hubbobble?
Snarled the sheriff.
Yeah, agreed the deputy.
Anyways, Earthers, just hope you never see the creature again. There were many Martians that heard the clack, clack, clack of a glimp and were never seen again. Actually, every Martian who has heard the clack, clack, clack of a glimp ended up dead. Except me. Luckily for me, I'm brilliant at fighting. I could probably take one on single-handed.
Bart and Nancy looked at Buttadaw, Gobblesnaff, Elbron, Podsnanker, Flirt, Jemimo, Arndlow and the deputy, and then back at the sheriff.
Good luck, he said. And may the nine Trangulos of Bongerlon protect you from the evil that lurks this day.
The sheriff then turned and continued his descent into the crater. His companions filed in behind him. Bart, Hubbobble and Nancy watched for several minutes.
Such a pack of knobs, noted Bart.
Ah, they're okay. They're just in awe of the sheriff because he's brilliant, noted Hubbobble. Have you ever eaten Martian food?
No, replied Nancy.
You're lucky then, because it's rotten.
And with that, Bart, Hubbobble and Nancy made their way over the top of the ridge of Eberswald Crater and headed in the direction of what Hubbobble said was Mars City. It was hard for Bart and Nancy to know if he was right.
What they saw was a barren rock landscape stretching out for a kilometre towards low hills.
The ground was strewn with large boulders and low, spiky purple shrubs. Apart from that, there was no sign of life.
They had not walked for more than 6 minutes when they heard a clacking sound.
Clack, 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 it went. Is that the glimp? Asked Nancy.
Probably. Just our luck, huh? Replied Bart.
Is it, Hubbobble?
I hope not, he said. For our sakes. But mostly my own. And yes, it is the glimp.
Oh, no, fair play to you if you're still there. Chapter 3 next week. And thanks for listening. See you later.